Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Spirituality and science are both telling us that we are literally all connected, that we are all one. And when mankind awakens to this truth, there will be peace on earth. Today's topic is Divine Love Healing with author Sam Shelley. Sam is the author of Don't Dwell. Sam, welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Carolyn, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight.
Thank you. I'm very honored that you are on the show with us tonight. I feel a connection with you on so many levels. Can you share with our audience your amazing story of healing and go into as much detail as you'd like to share with us where it began for you, your healing process?
Okay, yeah, I can share my story. Well, my story began pretty rough. When I was 6 years old, I was run over by a truck that nearly took my life. And from that state, after I recovered from that, naturally my parents were in a state of worry and they became overprotective. And I was even worried about myself that something else was going to go wrong since I nearly died from that. Well, all this constant worrying led to mental issues through high school. Then when I was in my early 20s, I was diagnosed as a bipolar. I got very suicidal, had to be hospitalized a few times because of it. So life continued onward after I recovered from got some stability with the bipolar through medicine, but it took 5 years to get it correct and a couple hospital stays. Then after the bipolar, then I came down with some other things like psoriasis, psoriatic arthritis, and migraines. Then when I was 37 years old, I found myself back in the hospital because I was unable to walk, could barely see, had problems swallowing, just a lot of difficulties. After a month in the hospital testing me for all these various things, they just concluded that I had multiple sclerosis. There's no like one single test for MS. It's a process of exclusion. So they excluded everything and determined I had multiple sclerosis. Then I spent about another month in rehab. Then after I got home, it took about 6 months to get from my walker to a cane. So then I was getting around with my cane through about 5 years ago I was using my cane. And then things changed for me. And this is really odd. So I just had a lot of pain, a lot of suffering throughout my whole life. So I was curious. I was always in this state of worry, like what else is going to go wrong? Because by the time before I'm even 40 years old, I can't walk properly. I can't think properly. It's bipolar. So I was just a real mess health-wise. So being a couch potato, I watched a lot of TV. Then one of the TV shows I watched was a ghost hunting show. I'm like, oh, is this real or fake? I don't know. It's TV. So there was a ghost hunt in the city of Philadelphia. I was like, oh, I can push myself to go to this for an hour. That was a big ordeal. Even for an hour, I would have to have my cooling packs because multiple sclerosis, you get very impacted by the heat. So I had to take my cooling packs with me. I had my cane, and I had to get a hotel nearby because there's no way I could drive afterwards because I'd be just too drained. So when I was at this paranormal event at Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, I had flashlights going on and off by themselves by command. So there's a flashlight. You say, turn this flashlight on. The flashlight will come on. Turn this flashlight off, and the flashlight will go off. I'm like, well, isn't this curious? So I put out my flashlight being a skeptic. And my flash was light was doing the same thing, so I know it was not rigged. Then I can't explain it. It was like somebody I couldn't see sat right next to me. Like, okay, so there is something to this paranormal world. So then I started to read some books, just trying to figure out what I went through or what I experienced. And one of these books talked about meditation. And one of the benefits of meditation was inner peace. And I instantly knew right then that I needed inner peace. So I began a practice that night, just simple five-minute practice of just sitting there. So I had the simple practice going. For the first 2 weeks, it was absolutely brutal because I might have this whole to-do list that I was wasting my time, that I didn't deserve time to myself. All these really troubling thoughts would come up during this meditation. So after like my third week, it became started to become a habit. I started to enjoy it, but I was constantly determined to do my practice each day because for some reason, I just knew without a doubt that meditation would bring me inner peace. So that was my trigger to keep going. So I kept going, and by the third month, I was 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, with some journaling after the meditation. So one evening after my evening meditation, I was just sitting there getting ready to journal. Then I heard a voice say, "Perfect spirit." Then I had an instant realization, that's it. Spirit is perfect. It's simply the body and mind that are damaged. Then I simply had a deep, deep knowing that all was well, and all sense of fear just went away, especially all the fear about my health was just gone. I simply knew that all my health challenges were over that day. So then I spent the next 18 months just tapering off all the medications because I was on 13 medications. I was taking 24 pills a day. So it took me 18 months to wean off all of that. Then I just followed my intuitive voice was very loud at this point when I heard that voice. And the mind became very quiet. If it was started to get noisy, I just realized that I had thoughts, but I was not my thoughts. I was a perfect spirit. These thoughts are just noise, just nonsense. And they're usually creating trouble. For me, they were creating trouble that you're not worthy. And I get suicidal, and it was not a fun adventure. So after 6 months, after that shift, it took me 18 months to get up all the medication. Then I had the intuition to go do yoga. So I was doing a traditional gym at that time, like lifting weights and things of that nature. But the problem with the weightlifting, it was causing muscle spasms. So it was very hard on me, the gym. So I quit the gym and joined the yoga studio. I was real comical in the beginning of the yoga. My balance was so terrible, but 6 months later, I didn't need my cane anymore. So yoga made a huge difference to recover the body. And I still continued to taper the medicines off. And I had some other awakening type experiences besides hearing perfect spirit. I went through some other awakenings, like a full Kundalini awakening. And Kundalini is this life force energy within us that usually is dormant in everyone at the base of the spine. Well, for me, it fully awakened. And that lasted for like 14 months. And when this was going on, I really felt like I was being constantly struck by lightning, constantly on fire, just constant rewiring. I felt like I was aggressively being rewired. That's the best way to explain it. Then after yoga one day, I was in an inversion. That means my feet were in the air. Then I can't explain just this weird energy just was leaving through my feet. I just felt lighter after the class, didn't think anything of it. But the next morning, I woke up and I was one with everything. Wherever I looked, I was that. As they say in the Buddhist tradition, you're one with the 10,000 things. But the thing is, I never had a teacher going through all of this. It was just following my intuition. Afterwards, like after I heard that voice say perfect spirit, I started to look around, like, what's this thing that I'm experiencing? I'm just here now. I'm not in the world of thoughts. I'm not worried about yesterday or guessing what tomorrow is. I'm just here in this moment. So there's a new reality for me, not being in the mind. That troubling mind of mine, it was just very quiet. So I went through that, and then really, I really started to get some clarity of, like, really what I went through when I wrote my book. Because the whole time I was just going through this, I didn't really know what I was doing until I started to write my book the following year and just start to really figure out what happened to me and what I did and what were my processes. And this is how my book, I Don't Dwell, came to be, was just writing all the processes that I did. And the biggest one was, I deserve time to myself. My mantra for 5 minutes a day, I deserve to disconnect from the world and just sit there and do nothing. But just be aware of, like, where are my feet on the ground? I didn't know anything about breathing, and postures, nothing. I just knew to sit there and just come back to my body.
Wow.
So that's basically my story in a nutshell.
No, that's amazing. That's a wonderful story. Like I said, I feel like I connect with you on so many different levels. With me, the only physical ailment that I ever had was at one time I had severe migraines. And I would get severe migraines for days at a time for several years. I mean, for days at a time, like twice a month for several years.
Mm.
I never did take medication for it, but I literally cured myself of migraines when I started to meditate. I tell people this all the time. I think after a week of meditation, I did not have another migraine. And this is at least 5 or 6 years ago was the last time I had a migraine headache. And they were very severe. Mm. I would be in the bed for 3 days with migraine headache. And I tell people all the time, I cured myself of migraine headaches just by meditating. And so I really relate to what you're saying there. But the other area where I relate to you is the MS. My daughter was diagnosed with MS when she was 23. She's now 34, so that was 11 years ago. My daughter was diagnosed, and she is currently, she can use a walker, but really, basically, right now, she's pretty much wheelchair-bound. And so how I found out about you and your book was a young man by the name of Danny had your book in his hand, and I got to talking to him, and I told him about my daughter's MS, and he's like, I know someone who cured themselves of MS. And I was like, oh, you got to give me name. You got to give me the information because I need to get in contact with this person. And shortly after that, I connected with you on Facebook, and we became Facebook friends ever since. But I say that's why I feel like I connect with you on so many different levels, the migraines for me, the MS for my daughter. And also I just recently found out that my daughter is also diagnosed bipolar. So she has two of the ailments that you had and that you are now recovered from. So I'm just so honored that you came on the show, and just would love to connect you and my daughter so she can hear your story and be inspired to grow from that. I talk to her all the time, but, you know, sometimes parents and children, they don't hear a parent, even if she's an adult, she's not a child, but sometimes you don't hear it as well from a parent as you do someone else, especially someone that has been through it. See, another reason she will hear it, I believe she'll hear it from you more than me, is because you've been through what she's going through right now. So that is just so amazing. And like all the things you're talking about being still, clearing the mind, being in the moment, I find has worked for me in so many ways. So tell us more about the book and how a person can get in contact with you and get a copy of the book.
Yeah, well, I want to go back to your story a little bit. There's a lot of good information there. The thing is that when I began meditation, I had no concepts of the health benefits. My strict focus was inner peace. If I was focused on health, it would have never worked. It was too big of a step. So I did work on these little small steps, which was just inner peace. And the way I see it was that just this determination just to do the practice is what triggered, you know, the quieting of the mind. And when I heard that voice, perfect spirit, that was grace. That was the divine love that came through, reminding me that I am always loved, and this is the grace of God, if you will. It just comes down and just reassures you that you are supported. So this is what I do now when I do my healing sessions. It was just given to me this past fall. It was like, you're now ready to give out this divine love, this grace. So it's a rather odd experience when I do this divine love healing. I pretty much just become a conduit, and all these mm-hmm. divine beings just work through me, which is rather interesting experience, because people are like, what did you say here? What did you say here? I have no idea what I'm saying or what I'm doing, because I'm usually dancing around a room or something. It's just right. I just let myself go and just be this conduit. But the thing is, you have to take these small steps to say, I deserve this time to myself, these little small little things. And I've been there with the world of migraines. That was not fun. I would have two or three bad migraines a week. And this was before Imitrex came out. So I used to get neck injections, the nerve blocks. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
So I've been through quite a bit. But that's the whole thing I tell people is, you know, if you just take these small steps, we don't know what's going to happen. But we don't worry about this huge end goal. Just worry about the little things that you can do today.
Exactly.
What can you do today that will make a difference? It could be just taking that 2 minutes for yourself, or three, or four, or maybe even five. It's just whatever you're comfortable with. This is disconnect. And the thing with thoughts is, when you say clear thoughts, people misinterpret that to, like, there are no thoughts. The thoughts are still here in my head. I just no longer mm-hmm. believe them. I no mm-hmm. longer react or respond to these thoughts. That's what was one of my misconceptions when I began meditation. Oh, my thoughts will stop. No. If your thoughts stop, you're probably dead. The brain's always thinking.
Right.
So you have to realize mm-hmm. it's all about how we react to these thoughts. And that's where I really help people to see, is your thoughts the absolute truth? Or if it's only true from a limited perspective, then why are you taking it so wholeheartedly that it's the way? And most of those thoughts are troubling, that you're not enough, you're not worthy, you're not deserving of the good things of life. Like, they're really troubling, these thoughts. They cause problems. So my book is I Don't Dwell. It's, like, available on, like, Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on Smashwords. I'm working with some stores now to actually get it into stores. And I'm doing mm-hmm. a book signing in Quakertown and at Wanderer at the Q-Mart in Quakertown at the end of the month. So it's not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. So that's the 30th. Mm-hmm. I'll be in Quakertown, do a book signing. And I'm doing three meetups in the Philadelphia area, and I do get around. And my mm-hmm. website is don'tdwell.org, and people can just reach me there. And I talk to everyone, because I want to see everyone stopping their pain.
Right.
For some, the pain is just stress, just the worry, like, am I going to pay my bills today?
Right.
Any kind of scenario, we can help with that mindset, because the mind's always guessing. Like, what happens? What if? What if? The mind loves to play the what if game. Well, what happens if you were just staying here in this moment and just for a little small step that you could do right now? What happens if you just stopped, paused, and just got yourself back into this moment? And the amazing thing really happens when you don't believe that your mind chatters so much. You get to hear your intuitive voice more, your perfect spirit. Everyone has a perfect spirit within, but the mind chatter blocks it. It creates a veil. So I really like to help people hear the intuitive voice, because there's a path mm-hmm. for everyone. The path for me will not be exact path for you. Maybe one or two of my practices will work for you. But, like, I've worked with people from, like, all over, and I just find out where they are, and I use that. So it could be, like, watching football. It could be anything. It could be gardening. It could just be taking walks. Anything can be turned into a practice to get you out of the mind. Because most people, when they're on nature walks, they're just dwelling about the day. They're not really enjoying nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I love nature, and that's where I meditate the best. I go to a lake, I sit by the water, and I am so, like, I'm just, my spirit feels so free when I'm sitting by the lake. So that's where I like to go to meditate the most, but I understand what you're saying. It is different for everybody. I understand that what your journey, my journey, everybody's journey is going to be a little bit different. And certain authors and certain speakers will speak to others as far as they will hear it, and others they don't hear. So that's kind of why I said I'm hoping that when you get an opportunity to speak with my daughter, she'll hear you, because, first of all, she'll hear you because you're going through what she's gone through. When I speak to her in her mind, well, Ma, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, you don't have MS. You're not bipolar. So you don't connect with me. But she'll be able to connect better with you because you've gone through what she's going through right now. So I definitely agree with you that everybody does find something that works. And it's also, like you said, small steps. Take baby steps, small steps. Change your thoughts, you change your life. I really believe that's so true. And trying to get people to focus more on positive thoughts and not the negative, defeating thoughts like I'm not worthy or I'm no good or nothing works out for me. So, I mean, so many people have those thoughts that run through their head constantly, and to try to just kind of get away from those thoughts and even find a mantra that works for them, like you had a mantra that worked for you. You deserve, you know, your time. So whatever mantra works for you, I like, for me, just one word. I like the word peace. So when I'm when I meditate, I like to just think of the word peace, you know, and just repeat that over in my breathing. I breathe in peace and breathe out peace. So I think of different one word mantras that will help me. Like you said, your mind is always thinking, but you don't have to engage in those thoughts. You can say okay, and you can let the thoughts go, and not beat up yourself for having the thought. Just say okay, there's a thought, let it go. You know, and
just let it go.
Yes. So, but like you said, when I started meditating, I think I just started meditating to, because like you said, to find inner peace for me. That was the goal. I did not have any clue that it would actually cure my migraine. So I didn't start meditating with the goal of curing my migraines. It was, like you said, to find inner peace, and that curing the migraines was a side effect of the meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I never, I used to take Excedrin migraine. That was the most I would take for it. But I got to a point, the migraines got so bad that Excedrin migraine was doing nothing for it. And I didn't want to go on a prescription drug. If they didn't cure themselves, I would just wait them out. I said, usually they took about 3 days. I stay in the bed for 3 days, turn off the phone, you know, just disengage from the world for 3 days until I waited them out. I would wait them out. But that was happening twice a month. So that's 6 days of the month. I was not living my life. I was suffering with migraines. But, and that was, I can say that was so many years ago. That was at least 6 years ago. I have not had a migraine since. So, I tell people that all the time. When people tell me they have migraines, I was like, I cured it with meditation. And I think sometimes people don't believe me, you know, but it's the truth. Quieting our mind, and like you said, just doing it little. Do what you feel comfortable doing as much as, and take baby steps. As it says in the Tao, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. You know, by taking the first step and by trying to change our thoughts to more positive thoughts little by little, I think is a wonderful way of doing it. So I know that you said that you also like to give speaking engagements. You go around speaking. I know you said you have a book signing coming up in next week on the 30th. Do you have any speaking engagements coming up?
Not in the immediate future.
Okay.
I just did my healing circle yesterday. But the way I position myself is, I don't even like to tell people to use positive thoughts. I want people to let go of all thoughts, because thoughts are just temporary. They're not really you. And some people just get into the place of always chasing positive thoughts, and that's just keeping the mind engaged. So you just need to let go of all the thoughts and just take the ones that serve you. And the ones that serve you are the positive thoughts. So you sort of cling to those, but you don't want to cling too hard. And just say that, I'm happy right now, but this moment's also fleeting. So if when we're sad, that we're only sad for a little bit. And when we're happy, that's only for a little bit. Unless you get to a place where you just see the thoughts and you can just be happy all the time. And people just look at me and just see how happy I am. And I am fortunate that I went through so much pain, so much suffering, and came out of all of that, that it is possible for anyone. You just never know what's going to happen. You just put the work in, these little steps, and just put that little work in. I'm just trying to see where I want to go here with this conversation, but it's just this.
Well, it's,
take this,
you know,
piece, this time for yourself.
What you were just saying about the being thankful for, and it sounds odd to be thankful for the pain, because to be thankful for what you went through, because what you went through brought you to where you are right now. So I use the saying from the Bible a lot, to be thankful for the pain that the Bible verse just went from my head. I use it a lot. I just forgot. Joy, to be thankful for the joy and the pain, basically, because that's where the joy comes from, is, you know, we have to experience the pain to be able to be thankful for the joy. So there has to actually be some thankfulness for what we went through. And that it takes, I think, that takes a little bit of spiritual maturity to be thankful for the pain. So that is, that's kind of where you're at right now. Even a lot of my friends are talking about Mercury retrograde right now. We're in Mercury retrograde. I do not follow the stars or the planets, but I do believe that we're connected. We're all connected. So the planetary movement does affect us. And I wrote in my appreciation journal just the other day, thank you for Mercury retrograde, because I realize I have to be thankful for what is. So if we're in Mercury retrograde right now, okay, I'm thankful for it. Because whatever I'm experiencing, I believe it's for my highest good. So that's kind of where my thought pattern always lies. But then I also remind myself, it's okay to cry. You know, it's okay to feel sad now and then again, because it's not good to hold it in. If you feel like crying, cry and release it, you know, and that's a cleansing. So when I recently lost my son, and I know you recently lost your father just a few months ago. So when I think about my son, which I was doing a lot this past Saturday, I cry. And but then I say to myself, the crying is just an expression of my love for him. So I don't think of it as negative. I think of it as a positive, and I cry when I feel like I need to cry and release it and let it go. And then I always try to remind myself moment to moment, not day to day, but moment to moment, of what is real. What is real for me is that we are all divine light. We are all spirit. There is no, I don't believe in death. I believe in only eternal life. So knowing that there is eternal life and that my son is not really gone anywhere, he's still connected. He's still connected to me. I know he's still with me. I have to focus on that, not think of, I do miss his physical presence, you know, but I understand that whatever happens is for my highest good, and it was his soul's choice to leave, because I believe our soul, before we're born, chooses when to come into this incarnation, and our soul chooses when to leave. And it's not, you know, we should, from our human conscious, yes, we miss those the people when they're gone, but we also have to celebrate their life and celebrate that they've moved on and that we'll be moving on, you know. And it's a cycle, you know. So those are the things that I focus on to also help me get through the tough times. I mean, like you had mentioned that you were, you know, when you were going through the pain and all of the disability, you had suicidal thoughts. And I had those thoughts when I was told my son wasn't going to live. And matter of fact, I tried to take my life when I was first told in December of 2011 that my son wasn't going to live. And then I experienced a miracle. He lived and I lived. So and then I was just so thankful for that miracle. So when mm-hmm. when he did pass in July of 2014, I had grown spiritually. So I couldn't not still be thankful for the miracle of having him survive and having him for 3 more years in my life. So that was my number one focus. Even when he passed, I was thankful for the extra 3 years I had with him. So I think it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. It's a moment-to-moment journey. It's a moment-to-moment reminding ourselves of what's real. Like you said, like you were saying, the thoughts that we have, how real are they? You know, if we're thinking negative thoughts, how real are those thoughts? You know, we have to really sometimes examine our thinking and take time to, you know, from moment to moment to, you know, embrace what we believe is true. And that's another thing I do realize, like we were talking about how healing and a spiritual journey is different for everyone. Also, people's belief systems are different. And I'm mm-hmm. one, I don't judge anybody's belief system. I personally don't subscribe to any one religion. I believe there's truth at the core of all religion because I believe love is at the core of all religion, and I believe love is the truth. And so whatever a person's belief system, whatever, you know, incorporate that in a healthy way in your life, you know. I think a good question people can ask when they have thoughts that really bring them down, a good question would be, is this thought serving me? You know, is this belief serving me? You know, really examine. I think that is a kind of a good step for people to take, is to examine their thoughts, examine their beliefs, and ask, are those thoughts and are those beliefs really serving them?
Yeah, I would like to stop you here because you just made so many comments and I just can't keep up. I just want to go back address a few things. It's just like, there's like one quote from Einstein that I like to reflect upon. That Einstein once said, God doesn't make mistakes. He said, God doesn't roll dice. What he meant by that, they're like, there is no mistakes. Things are happening for our benefit. We just don't know the divine plan behind this item that's happening. And everything is just an experience. And the mind mm-hmm. is judging it, whether it's good or bad. And once again, we get back to those thoughts. Is that real? But everything comes and goes. So we just have to see what is here one moment won't be here the next. It's like mm-hmm. these thoughts that we have, these words, they're here, they're gone. So that's where I have a hard time trying to keep up with some conversations because the words are here and gone. And that's how I actually came up with the title of my book. Somebody was asking about what somebody talked about in one convention I went to, and I'm like, I don't remember. I don't dwell. I didn't take any of those words and mold them over. I just let them go. They just pass them through. But sometimes we take these comments from people like, oh, you're no good, and we constantly dwell on that. Oh, he says, I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good, and we just become reinforcing thoughts. And we just have to let everything go and just see, it's just an experience for this moment. That's all I love to chime in with.
Oh, yeah. And also, you also touched upon, very important, the non-judgment. Like you say, the thoughts and I find for me a big part of my awakening is being non-judgmental of people, in the sense that I believe everybody is doing the best they can from their perspective. Everything is, you know, people are operating and saying things and doing things from their own perspective, and we really cannot see what their perspective is. And so I take that, you know, being non-judgmental of others. Even I may not do it myself. I may not think, oh, that wasn't quite nice, but I don't need to really put a judgment on it. I have to understand that they're where they're at in their journey, and also understanding that we are all divine. We're all divine light. We're all connected to the divine. So I have to look for the divine in that other person, you know, and I have to honor the divine in that other person. So for me, as far as my words, if I have nothing nice to say, I don't say anything at all. You know, I also try to remember and to remain non-judgmental in my actions and in my words. So that's also very important, I think. A lot of key things, I think, comes with the awakening of humanity. And I really do believe that humanity is going through an awakening process, evolution process. And one of course, is understanding that we are all connected. We are all one. That helps. Once we understand that we all connected, we're all one, the non-judgment comes into play, because once you do really feel that and believe that in your heart, you will have compassion and love for that other person, and not be so judgmental of that other person. So living in the moment, like you had mentioned that, the present moment, truly, Einstein said, time is an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. Love Einstein. But what science has even pretty much proven, that they're truly, time is not linear, and really all there truly is the here and now. This is my belief. So in each moment we can choose, and we create from that present moment. The past is not there, and the future is not there. All we can experience is our present moment. So living more in the now, living more from this present moment. And when I first heard that, Eckhart Tolle, when I first read The Power of Now, I really thought about, wow, yeah, I'm always either worrying about the past or thinking about what happened in the past, or worrying about the future, or imagining what the future could be. 90% of the time, if not more, my mind was always somewhere in the past or somewhere in the future. It wasn't in the now. And when you're not in the now, you're not experiencing that now moment. It's you're kind of missing it. You're missing the boat.
I want to talk about The Power of Now. That's really brief, The Power of Now. When I look at The Power of Now, I thought it was a great book, but the only thing I saw that was really missing from the book was the how-to steps. That's really what the difference with my book was. I wanted to put all my steps into it. My book would be the same as The Power of Now, but I put how-to steps in it. That's how I separate myself. Is just, yeah, it's nice. These are nice words, but how do you do that? How do you keep yourself here in the moment? That's one of the important details I've seen missing in a lot of spiritual books. They give you these nice sounding stories and theories, but they don't tell you how. So we need these lessons, like how do we do it? I have like 15 to 16 practices in my book of like not just meditation, but how to be mindful, how to go through the world, how to handle with multitasking, how to handle all these things, and just how to do it, because I lived it. I lived through all this stuff, and I didn't have the real sense of oneness until I saw literally that I was one with everything. Wherever I looked, I couldn't separate myself. And by the way, that's very confusing to live in that state of oneness constantly. I couldn't really function properly until a sense of Sam came back. Otherwise, it was just confusion.
Yes, yes. I do. I understand what you're saying there. It's good to know, like, to know that we are one with everything. But to always be in that state of oneness, it would be kind of hard to operate in this physical realm. If, you know, so I do understand what you're saying there. But the good thing, because you experienced that state of oneness, you know that we're all literally one. And it really came true for, it really was clear to me after watching What the Bleep. I'm like, and that's when it just clicked for me. And it's good. And I do understand what you're saying about the how. But also, I keep in mind, when you speak about the how, I keep in mind that everybody processes everything differently. So like you said, what worked for you, if someone did those exact same steps, it may not work for them exactly the same way, because everybody kind of processes things differently. But it's great because you're sharing your story and how it, what worked for you, that's what you can do. And kind of what the same thing I'm doing with the radio show is sharing what worked for me, because that's all, you know, by sharing our stories, you know, not everybody's going to relate to them, but some people will relate to them and be able to relate enough where they can take bits and pieces and make it work for them in their lives. So I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, and the how is just to give you an idea how it works for me. It's going to work slightly different from you, but it can at least give you at least a template to use, and you just modify the template to serve your needs. So that's all it is. It's a bunch of templates. And so a lot of these books are missing the template. They just give these nice sounding stories, but with no templates. And you sort of get a little lost, a little frustrated.
Right. It gives you a starting point, a jumping off place. Well, I find Eckhart Tolle and Neil Donald Walsh's experiences and authors like them, their experiences, so they had such a profound spiritual experience that is rare. It's so rare. It's like Eckhart Tolle just went to sleep. He was just very, very down one night, and kind of it was just all made known to him. And the same thing like with Neil Donald Walsh, his higher self, his soul self, his God self just started talking to him, and he started taking dictations. So these are, I think, are very rare. I follow what you're saying.
Mine was also rare because I just heard Perfect Spirit, and that shifted me. What Eckhart Tolle heard in his head was, he says, I can't live with myself. And then he asked himself, who's the I can't live with? And that shifted him. And then Neil Donald Walsh, I can relate to that because I did that for my second book that I'm writing. I was on a flight to New Orleans, and this voice was just talking to me the whole time. So I was just writing for the four-hour flight down and the four-hour flight back up. This voice was dictating me. I would ask a question, and it would respond in a female voice. I really thought I was living conversations with God.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think because, like, it's said in, Neil Donald Walsh's book in the very beginning, God talks to everyone. It's just who listens. Now, I have heard, not audibly, but in a meditative state, things have been, my spirit kind of resonated certain things to me. I didn't hear it audibly. It was more of an internal voice, not an external voice, about oneness and about how all paths lead to God. And so I have gotten messages from my meditative state, but I haven't heard anybody audibly. I think if I did hear it audibly, I'd be like jumping, who's in the house, you know? But like Neil did when he first heard his higher self, his God self speaking to him. So this is true that God does, I believe, speak to all of us. Our
God self. Yeah, I have a funny story in that voice. That when I heard a voice, perfect spirit, I heard it at the right time. If I heard it any other time, I'd be like, oh, I'm going schizophrenic, and made a doctor with my psychiatrist, make an appointment with my psychiatrist. But just hearing that voice, I just realized that, and it just hit me. If I heard that voice a few years earlier, I would just thought it's time for a psychiatrist appointment. And that's what some people do. You don't know what you're hearing these voices. Am I hearing voices? But luckily, I had that deep, deep knowing that followed it, that all is well.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experience with your healing with the Kundalini healing? Because I have heard about those types of healings. You were saying it was more like a warmth feeling. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, let me explain a little bit more about the Kundalini. What the theory is of Kundalini, when a child is conceived, the Kundalini descends to the top of the head and manifests the human body. Then as it's creating the body, as it's descending from the crown, then it sits at the base of the spine and remains dormant. So when the theory is when Kundalini arises, this energy that manifests with this child goes back out through the crown of the head. Then once this Kundalini leaves, then there's another energy that comes down and just resides in the heart space. So now my Kundalini is awakened, now I have this new energy come into the heart space, and this is just that place of this unconditional love. But when I was dealing with the Kundalini, there was no one in my area. I just saw, I didn't know what was going on. I was extremely hot. I'd be laying in bed sweating. It could be middle of winter, and I would just feel like, it just felt like I was constantly being struck by lightning. It was just this really powerful force. Mm-hmm. But I figured, well, this can't be any worse than MS. I'm just going through this for a reason. Because I was guided to do a specific meditation. Here, do this now. And so I did.
Right.
It's just one of these things I did. And one of the things I talk about in my book is like all the mystical experiences I had with the Kundalini when I was awakening.
Mm-hmm.
All these things were just happening to me that I couldn't explain. Luckily, I heard one teacher give a talk, Jack O'Keefe. I'm like, oh, I can relate to this. Jack O'Keefe was doing ghost hunting or something she was doing. I didn't know what she was doing, but she was having all these mystical experiences too. And it was a teacher I could relate to that I wasn't going crazy. But I just felt that afterwards, like, oh, so these two experiences do happen to others. And what happens is, in the spiritual journey, different faculties wake up within you. Some people hear things. Some people sense things. Some people sense things. Some people taste things. They get certain tasting amounts of something going to happen. And so they just get these senses. These different senses wake up for each person. And that's why some are mediums. That's why some are like tarot readers. All these different skills just sort of wake up. And these are just spiritual gifts. I have many gifts, but I don't practice them. They're just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is true. I believe that we are all psychic to a degree, but certain people have developed their gifts much more, and certain people are born with certain spiritual gifts. But I believe we all have some psychic ability, but we don't, like we say, we don't listen to our spirit when God is talking to us, and we don't develop or don't use our spiritual gifts as we should. And the other thing I love that you talked about is how you didn't have a teacher. This kind of all kind of came to you, and you kind of went through this whole healing process yourself, which I believe is we all have that ability. I believe that everything we need for our own personal healing can come from within. I do believe authors and speakers and all of these wonderful spiritual teachers can inspire us. And that's why I always say the mission of this show is to inspire, because I believe true knowing comes from inside, within our soul. But we can inspire that. We can inspire that awakening in others. So I love the empowerment aspect of your teaching, because I also like to share that with people, to be empowered to not not feel that they have to go out and find a guru or find, you know, that they can also find, they can find what they need within. They have it within them. Because we
right.
all
Everybody
are,
has this. Yeah, everyone has yeah. a voice within, but usually the mind is too noisy. But you can just look mm-hmm. at mother's intuition. They sort of have like eyes behind their head. They know what their kids are doing without even looking at them. They can just sense.
Right, right.
Barbara, you can see that. You can just look at this mother's intuition as a psychic ability that you
right.
know what's going on with your kids. And you know when your kid's getting hurt, you just have this sense like, oh, what happened to Johnny? Let me go check on him.
Right, right. That also shows, because we're all connected too. So, and someone you're very, very connected to, have a great deal of love for, like a child, and that child could be 1,000 miles away, whether, when I say a child, it could be an adult child, but there's many, many stories of how an adult was hurt thousands of miles away, but the mother knew it and had to call, you know, that child to make sure that child was okay, because there's that connection that we have, and you definitely feel that connection when there's a lot of love between those two people. So, yeah, it's so true. Every, you know, that perfect spirit. And I love when you say perfect spirit, because I believe we are three parts. We're spirit, mind, and body. And I believe we are perfect. And it's what is what we imagine to be imperfect is what causes our ailment, you know, because we imagine it not to be perfect, but we are ultimately spirit, divine light, which is perfect. And when we know that and embrace that, then we have a healthy mind and we have a healthy body. I think they kind of go hand in hand. That perfect spirit is a beautiful voice that you heard. That was beautiful because that helped you to awaken to the truth within you, which healed your body, which is awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Never give up hope. You know, for a while there, I felt so hopeless for a while because I was stuck. But once I took those first initial steps, those little baby steps, you just never know what's going to happen once we take action. Usually we get stuck in our misery. I know I was definitely stuck in my misery, like wondering what else is going to go wrong. But once I was able to stop that, then the healing could begin because I wasn't reinforcing that belief that I was meant to suffer. I was supposed to live a life of misery.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us more about your second book. Do you have a title for that book that's
yes,
coming
I
out?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Well, I'm still in the process of transcribing it and trying to fill in some gaps, and that's what I'm doing right now. This is a Law of Attraction book, and the title that I'm probably coming up with is probably Prosperity Soup.
Okay. Prosperity Soup. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a matter of, like, what ingredients are we bringing in to manifest what we want? You know, life is a constant, we're grabbing ingredients. This serves me, this doesn't serve me. So you just pull the ingredients that you want, and you take out the ingredients that you don't want. So everything is like an ingredient that we just sort of mix into this soup of our liking. Everybody has different tastes, so you just got to pull in your ingredients.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said, too. Does it serve me? Yeah, that's a good question, I think, for people to start asking when it comes to their thoughts and their beliefs. Does that thought or does that belief serve me? That's very, very good. And so this second book is basically kind of like the Conversations with God books where you are transcribing this from your spirit, correct?
Right. That's exactly what it is. And it was given to me as the build on to The Secret, like an advanced understanding of The Secret. To build on those initial concepts into the next level, per se. It's like a much deeper understanding. And what it does for, what's a little bit different with this book, it tells you how to get into the quantum space. That's where everything is manifested from, this quantum space where everything is just a particle and they're just waves. And how you get these waves to move into what you want to manifest.
awesome, because I did, now I do have the DVD, The Secret, and I think it was a very good starting point. But I do agree with you when The Secret to me did not have enough how to, you know. After watching The Secret, I felt a little like there was too many steps missing. So I had seen The Secret first, and then I saw What the Bleep. So What the Bleep for me answered what was missing in The Secret for me.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's different that way, you know. That, but I did feel like after I watched What the Secret, I mean, not What the Secret. After I watched The Secret, I left The Secret with more questions than,
mm-hmm.
okay, I need more. I need more. It didn't answer my, you know, I needed more. But What the Bleep did kind of answer those questions that I had after that. That is awesome.
One of the chapters in that book is painting with the light. The light is all these quantum particles. So how do you paint what you want in the world?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a rather profound teaching in that chapter.
Oh, wow. And do you know when the book might be out?
I just have to really focus on that. And there's just
mm-hmm.
too many balls in mm-hmm. the air, and just trying to figure it out, because
okay.
I really want to get out to the world and give people
okay.
hope that they don't have to suffer. So I would like to do
right.
By the fall or the end of the year, but I'm just not quite sure, because I really want to focus my attention on public speaking and just see,
mm-hmm.
let people know that they are not hopeless, that
right.
the suffering is there for a reason. Use it as your tool to get out of the mind. I had to become sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Sick and tired,
before the
yes.
change.
Yes, that's true. That is so true what you just said. Well, it is. We are actually down to the end of the hour. It goes by so quickly, because I could talk to you for another hour. I feel so connected with you, and I'm so thankful. Next weekend, I will be in L.A. for the first time. Reverend Michael Beckwith invited me to be his special guest at the celebration in L.A. this coming weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. So I will be in L.A., and I am so honored that you were here this evening with us. And hopefully I want everybody to check out your website, which is don'tdwell.org, and check out the book. I am definitely buying a copy of your book for my daughter. And hopefully when you have a chance to meet my daughter, you can autograph the book for her. Personally,
yeah, I'm looking
I would
forward
love
to meeting
that.
Her.
That would be
and
awesome.
I'm also looking forward to speaking to the Pocono Spiritual Group. I really do
yes.
want to share my message out there. And I have my YouTube
yes.
videos, and I really need to make more YouTube videos, because I had the same problem that you had. No one believes that you can cure migraines. Well, it's even harder
exactly.
for me when I reversed 5. So you can't feel they
yes.
believe in miracles and say yes, but then you tell my story and they look at you like, there's no way.
Right. People, that this is true. But, we are coming down to the hour, and I know when it gets close like this, I don't want the Blog
right.
Talk Radio just to cut us off. So I will say good night and thank you.
Good
and
night.
Thank you, and have a wonderful Memorial Weekend. I keep forgetting that it is Memorial Weekend already. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you so much. And you and I will definitely be in contact very soon. Okay?
All right.
Okay,
thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Okay, good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.